Chicago football fans, it's time for On the Clock with the Score Zone Mark Grody, covering the latest on the Bears' historic upcoming draft, featuring Bears experts and analysis on this red-hot offseason storyline, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Presented by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, the exclusive partner of the Chicago Bears.
Here's Mark Grody.
So good to have you with me tonight on The Score, talking about the Chicago Bears and their 10 draft picks featuring the number 9 overall pick. Yes, I am Mark Grody. This is On the Clock every Thursday from 6 to 7 right here on The Score. Sean Sears is our executive producer for the night, and there is a threat to the Chicago Bears in the draft and on the field, and it's right in their backyard, and that is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions have 2 picks in the first round, coming off a winning season last year. Didn't make the playoffs, but they did have a winning season last year. And so, in the name of that, I've been thinking about the Lions a lot, man, and we will go to Detroit here in just a little bit and speak to a former Detroit Lions scout, Matt Hamilton, who also works for FanDuel TV, so he can give us a good idea of what the Lions might be thinking with the 6th overall pick, 3 spots ahead of the Bears, and the number 18 pick as it stands right now in the draft. So 6 and 18 for Brad Holmes, who is the general manager of the Detroit Lions. You should also know, just in thinking about the Lions and getting us ready to talk to Matt, the Lions have signed a couple of good, like solid DBs in Cam Sutton and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Hello, Javon Wims. A couple of one-year deals for those guys. They signed an interior offensive lineman, doing just like the Bears did in Graham Glasgow. David Montgomery is now on the roster of the Detroit Lions. And I'm okay with that. It does sound weird, though. It does sound weird. Put him with DeAndre Swift. That is a pretty nice 1-2 punch with that team now. So the Lions have solidified their running game by adding an ex-Bear. The receivers are, you know, Amon Ross, St. Brown, arrow pointing way up. Jameson Williams, we'll see if he starts to blossom a little bit more this year. And good God, there's going to be a terror in the division for years to come, assuming health, and that is Aiden Hutchinson. So, man, to think about the possibility that the Lions will be in position to grab Jaylen Brown is kind of a scary proposition, or some of the really top elite guys, and they could really make it a nightmare for the Bears. So we do have to, or Jalen Carter, man, after all the Jalen Carter-ness, I threw in a Jaylen Brown right there. Everybody gets one. I don't know if that's necessary.
Is it Edwards or Edmonds? What?
yeah, exactly. TJ Edwards, man, yeah, the new Bear. DJ Moore, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, DeMarcus Walker, Nate Davis. See, I have to practice too, and I think I was doing pretty good there. Andrew Billings, PJ, there's a PJ Walker, Bears backup quarterback, and thank God for Deontay's, because that's it. I mean, as far as I know, Deontay Foreman is the only one on the Bears roster named Deontay right now. Anyway, a couple other things on this show. So we'll talk a lot of Detroit. We will also, really looking forward to this guest in about 5 minutes from right now, Garrick Hodge will be on the show. He covers Ohio State for 11 Warrior. He was at the Ohio State Pro Day, and I've been told he's a Chicago guy. It never hurts to have that sort of base knowledge of what's how we feel here in Chi. So we'll talk to Garrick Hodge about some of the obvious names. Paris Johnson Jr., the big offensive lineman, who very well could be somebody the Bears are zeroing in on right now. Jackson Smith and Jigba, don't rule it out. Don't rule it out. He ran. We'll find out how he did in his 40-yard dash, because he did not run at the combine. And then, of course, C.J. Stroud. That probably doesn't pique Bears fans' interest as much as Paris Johnson, maybe in Jigba, too. But we'll ask him about C.J. Stroud and how he's made this climb and whether or not he could be a quality quarterback in the NFL, or if we're looking at a star or what the comp is on the C.J. Stroud. So we'll do that in a little bit. There's also, there's always wild cards that show up to these things, too. And I wouldn't call it, DeJuan Jones is not a wild card, but he's an interesting guy to discuss. DeJuan Jones, 6'8", 374. That's right, 6'8", 374, one of those 7-foot wingspan guys. So we will talk to Garrett Hodge about him, too, and how much, like, if he's a first-rounder, if he's probably more second round, be my guess on him, but we'll get to know him in a little bit as well. Another thing on my mind, previous to talking about the Detroit Lions. Actually, we're going to talk to Garrett Hodge first at 6'10", covers Ohio State. So we're going to do that here in a few minutes. But one thing I've been thinking about, I mean, we've been diving in on this draft, all of us, everybody at the Score. I'm covering it as closely as anybody, obviously, because that is what I do. And there's some really obvious areas of need for the Bears, offensive line and defensive line. And we've gone through the players one after another on both sides of the ball. I think that we've done a pretty good job of presenting that to you, and we'll continue to do that tonight. But one thing I'm thinking about is the wild card factor, the completely unexpected, because and justifiably, like we do need to stay reasonable considering what we know the Bears are going to need in the upcoming draft. But in the name of best player available, that's where I start thinking about wild cards. And these not guys that wouldn't fit in with the Bears, but maybe not the pressing needs. Like, what if at number 9, the Bears were to select Bijan Robinson, the Texas running back, the number one running back for sure in this draft? I haven't seen anybody really deviate from that. And Pro Football Focus on Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson, according to them, at least according to their rankings and their system, a higher rating than Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, and Christian McCaffrey. So I'm just saying, like, I think it would be an upset probably. It would be pretty shocking if the Bears were to somehow take Bijan Robinson. But you got to be aware of stuff like that. I mean, we talked about it last week with the guy from NFL.com, Zuerlein, and all he was talking about at number 9 was cornerbacks, and because there are going to be 3 probably at that point, starting at 9, assuming the Bears keep it, there are going to be 3 really good cornerbacks available to the Bears. Probably. Devin Witherspoon of Illinois, who I talked to at the Combine. Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, who probably caused the greatest stir at the Combine in a good way. In terms of, Christian Gonzalez is talking, go talk to him. And, you know, this biggest gathering. But Witherspoon seems to right now outrank him. And then usually 3rd in that list of cornerbacks right now is Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State. So you got to think about things like that. I mean, it could be totally and completely conventional. It's very possible that the Bears do draft an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. I mean, as far from out of the question. I mean, we've gone through, like, Kalijah Kancey-Pitt, Jalen Carter's there, Brian Brassey of Clemson, Mazi Smith out of Michigan. Like, just a lot of depth along the defensive line on the interior. And then you guys know about the edge rushers as well. And then the offensive linemen, for sure. And we're not losing our sight on those guys. And Peter Skoronski, Paris Johnson, who we'll talk about here in just a couple of minutes. Also Broderick Jones out of Georgia, another guy for sure. So all of these are on the table, but I think that the idea is that you have to be ready for the potential wild card. And I like that stuff. I do like that. Even though it defies conventional thinking and it would probably piss a lot of people off, I do think it's stuff like that that makes the draft extra interesting. Always interesting, but that makes it extra. Let's talk about one of those offensive linemen now. Garrett Hodge covers Ohio State for 11 Warrior. He was at the Ohio State Pro Day, and the rumor is, Garrett, I've been hearing you're from Chicago. Is that right?
Well, I wouldn't say Chicago. I would say very northern suburbs, Gurnee, Zion area. But, yeah, grew up a Bears fan, so pretty fun stuff getting to watch a couple prospects that may end up getting picked by the Bears here in a month.
Well, your honesty is excellent, because if you had just said, yeah, I'm from Chicago, I'm from that area, people would have crushed you for it. You understand that. So
I know better.
That's a smart move on your part. All right, let's get right into it. And talk to us about Paris Johnson Jr., how his pro day was, and how he, in your opinion, projects at the NFL level.
Well, starting with the pro day, I think he had an incredible performance. I think he did himself a lot of favors in the eyes of NFL scouts, specifically with the footwork drills. I know there's been a lot of clips around on social media that when you look at them, you're like, is this an offensive tackle or is this a linebacker doing footwork right now? And it just was pretty captivating that a guy at 6'6", 310 pounds could move that fast. But this is a guy that, no matter where you put him on the offensive line, he's going to thrive. First year he played at Ohio State, last year he started at right guard. This year he moved back to his primary position at left tackle. And I believe I think Pro Football Focus had a stat in 925 pass blocking opportunities, he has allowed one quarterback hit his entire college career. And this is a guy that has a mean streak, just really gets after defensive end, defensive tackles, whatever you ask him to do. And is really a down-to-earth, humble guy off the field, you know, does a lot of charitable work. And, you know, my favorite thing about him that is probably just niche and who knows everything else is that he has his own beef jerky brand. So I tried it. It's actually pretty solid. You should get yourself one, especially if he comes up to Chicago. But no, so he's, you know, food's the way to my heart, and being good at football is probably the way to the Bears' heart. So, yeah, he certainly did himself a lot of favors yesterday with what he was able to show out there.
That's fantastic. I went through a long beef jerky phase in my life. Then maybe it's time to resurrect that. So especially if Paris Johnson makes his way to the Bears. You mentioned right guard and left tackle. I assume at the NFL level, his best spot would be then left tackle? Or what do you think when he goes to the pros?
Yeah, I think he's a pure tackle. I think the only reason he was at guard was because Ohio State had two tackles that, you know, we're going to be NFL players ahead of him. And they just had to play him because they couldn't not play him in his second year at college. So that's more of what it was, rather than we'd rather play him at guard than just not play him at all because he's too talented not to play. I did get to speak with Paris after the pro day, and he did tell me that he has talked with Matt Eberflus. He talked with Matt Eberflus that day. He also talked with offensive line coach Chris Morgan with the Bears. And for what it's worth, he also talked with the Tennessee Titans yesterday, too. So those are two teams that I know are looking pretty hard at Paris. And he, along with DeJuan Jones and Luke Whipler, two other members of Ohio State's offensive line, went out to dinner with Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers contingent the day before Pro Day. So he certainly had no shortage of interest and no shortage of interest from the Bears as well.
Do you see him, though, like, because the Bears are in this weird place. The Bears have a second-year former fifth-round pick in Braxton Jones playing left tackle, and I keep saying that, you know, he had a injury-free year, was imperfect, had a lot of help while he was out there. My question is, if the Bears were to draft him, is Paris Johnson Jr. a guy that you could just throw over at right tackle, or would it be a waste if he wasn't playing left tackle?
I think he'd be perfectly fine wherever you put him. I think he would be better at left tackle. But if Jones, you know, needs to be at left tackle and the Bears are better off with Paris being at right, I think he would fit in no problem and would be happy to do it. I also think he'd be happy to play with Justin again. He also told a group of us that Justin Fields tested him about potentially playing with the Bears a couple days before Pro Day and, you know, wished him good luck and all stuff like that. So it's definitely in the back of his mind that a reunion could be in store there.
That's good to hear. All right, so that's Paris Johnson Jr., again, 6'6", 310, guy who can, sounds like you play any position, but best suited for tackle. Garrick Hodge is the guy that we're covering. Covers Ohio State for 11 Warrior. He was at the Ohio State Pro Day. I'm Mark Grody. This is On the Clock on the Score. There's another big boy that was out there as well for Ohio State, and that's DeJuan Jones, 6'8", 374, the massive wingspan. Tell us about him and his draft prospects as well.
Well, if you ever see him, you won't forget him. I can tell you that. He's a very hard man to miss. He's one of the couple men in my that I've seen in my lifetime that I felt like, you know, very short and inadequate around. I'm about 6'3", and he's 6'8", and he just towers over you, man.
Yeah, but, I stood next to Artis Gilmore one time at 7'4", and I'm about a six-footer, and I felt horrible about myself for about 2 days after that, but then I got over it.
But Paris and DeJuan are kind of opposites in terms of, you know, their recruiting background. Paris was, you know, a five-star guy, rated one of the top tackles in his class, whereas DeJuan was a three-star guy and wasn't even in the top 1,000 prospects of his recruiting class, so he was more of a developmental guy. But he really put the work in, and, you know, they just looked at his frame and were like, well, in the case that he works out, we can't not take a chance on this guy, right? And he ended up starting at right tackle the last 2 years. And, you know, I would say he's definitely a pure tackle at the next level. I think he is close to an elite run blocker. I think the pass blocking has been a work in progress. It's gotten better, certainly from his junior year when he started for Ohio State first, and moving into last year, I think it got progressively better, but he's still going to have some things to work on there. I also think that, you know, he has a higher than usual false start percentage, which is also something that's going to drive pro coaches crazy at that level.
Oh, yeah.
But the measurables are just out of this world crazy.
Second round, you think?
I think there's a chance he goes late first.
Really?
I think,
okay.
Yeah. And, you know, as you guys know, with the Claypool trade with the Steelers, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up somewhere around there to pick 32, which would normally be a first-round pick. But in this year, it's technically considered the second round. So I wouldn't be surprised if he somewhere goes around pick 28 to pick 38, somewhere around there.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that's DeJuan Jones is just a prospect to keep an eye on out there. Like, he's not getting the same fame as Paris Johnson or Peter Skoronski, but as Garrick is saying, I mean, the size is absolutely real, and sometimes it's hard to pass up. Couple other guys, the shine guys, Jackson Smith and Jigba. All right, how fast is he? I'm seeing ranges here. What did he actually run, the wide receiver from Ohio State who's a first-round talent?
Mark, I don't know. I just know that he's fast. I'm sitting here with a straight face, and four of us tried to time him yesterday, and all four of us got something different. So all of us threw up our hands in the air and went, I don't know.
Whatever. I saw 448 and 452, just from stuff that I read from you guys, basically.
Yes, the official was 448. On the high end, I heard 441. On the low end, I heard 455. But in any case, you know, in the short yardage stuff and the three-cone drill, he's possesses elite agility. And I think more importantly than anything else, what in particular his 40-yard dash is that he looks healthy. He looks back to close to normal what he was 2 years ago when he had that 1,600-yard season. And, you know, those hamstring injuries, you know, he suffered it early and he came back too early, and they can just linger and linger and linger. Mm. But, you know, and you saw it at the combine, looked really good out there. And he looked even, you know, more comfortable running routes with CJ Stroud, who he and Stroud are very close, almost best friends even. And I mean, I was sort of surprised to hear that Jackson has a meeting scheduled with the Bears or a visit coming up. Didn't specifically say when, but I know after the Carolina trade, DJ Moore and then Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool there, it's turned into a little bit of a crowded wide receiver room, which, you know, is kind of startling to say considering where the wide receiver corps was a year ago. But
you're absolutely right.
But, I mean, it doesn't seem like the Bears are ruling Jackson Smith and Jigba out, which, is he a likely pick? I certainly wouldn't think so, but it seems like they're definitely doing their due diligence on him.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about the wild card factor that exists in drafts and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't expect the Bears to take Jackson Smith and Jigba, but who knows? Because if that's the guy that they think is the best player available at that spot, you go grab him. Last guy I have to ask you about is obviously C.J. Stroud, and I'm sure the Carolinians were swarming about him. Tell us how his Ohio State day went, and what you think about him overall in terms of his promise in the NFL.
Well, I think the entire city of Charlotte was there yesterday to take a look at C.J. Stroud. But no, I think the Panthers had 14 members of their contingent there. complete with their general manager, their head coach, Frank Wright, who talked to C.J. Stroud multiple times yesterday, and offensive coordinator, and a couple of their owners. So, and, you know, they did the same for Bryce Young today at Alabama's Pro Day. But in terms of Stroud, I would say that he's probably the best pure passer in this draft. I don't know if I'd call him the best overall quarterback in this draft. I think Bryce Young is probably your best combination of athlete and passer. But when it comes to just, you know, pocket presence and ability to stand in there and make a play downfield, I don't think there's a quarterback better than Stroud in this draft. And I mean, of course, he looked great yesterday, which I always kind of laugh when, you know, Lion season, as some people call it, in draft season, you know, rumors circulate with how good guys looked in individual workouts. Sure. And I always just sit there and go, of course he's going to look good. He's throwing to receivers that he's played with for 2 years.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
you know, nobody's guarding him. So, of course, he's going to look awesome. If he doesn't, then, you know, he's not an NFL signal caller. But I think that just based off of Frank Reich's history, if he's the one calling the shots, I think he'll be a Carolina Panther in April.
Garrick, great stuff. Hopefully we could talk to you down the road. Appreciate your work, and thanks for coming on the clock, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yep. Garrick Hodge, again, covers Ohio State for 11 Warrior. Good chance to talk to him, especially about Paris Johnson Jr. and DeJuan Jones, because those are the most realistic. But always interesting to hear about Njigba and the mighty C.J. Stroud, who just finds himself atop the draft right now. Sure feels like that's the way Carolina is going. When we return on the clock, by the way, which is brought to us by Bet Rivers. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the exclusive partner of the Chicago Bears. We're going to talk about the Detroit Lions because they have two picks in the first round. So we'll talk to Matt Hamilton of FanDuel TV and a former Lions scout next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock featuring Mark Grody right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Presented by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, the exclusive partner of the Chicago Bears. Take it away, Mark Grody.
And whatever they need me to be, I'm here to be. So if I need to go out there and pass protect every play, I'll do it. You know, if I need to go play PP on a punt, I'll do it. You know, if I need to play gunner, I'll do it. You know, if Jerry needs some water, I'll give it to him. So, you know, it'll be good. I'm just here to, you know, service the team and, you know, be whoever Coach Gilman needs me to be.
David Montgomery, the ex-Bear, going to be paired up with DeAndre Swift in Detroit. He is with the Lions now. And the Detroit Lions, they have a lot going on right now. As we welcome you back into On the Clock, I'm Mark Grody here with you until 7 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Lions have two picks in the first round, 6 and 18, after having a winning season last year. As I said, the Lions signed a couple of DBs in Cam Sutton and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But I am very curious as to what the Lions might be thinking with the draft and even what those two signings meant. And the guy that we're going to talk to for the answers, Matt Hamilton from FanDuel TV. He's a former Detroit Lions scout, and he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Matt, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on the clock.
Wow, thank you so much for having me. Excited to jump on and talk some draft with you.
Absolutely, man. The Lions have got a little bit scary. They're the team that usually I'm able to, at the beginning of every season, write off. It actually felt like that this past year, too, when they started off like 1-5, 1-6. I thought, okay, Lions are done. Dan Campbell's a joke. But no, 9-8 season last year, so they're on the come, and they've got the sixth pick in the draft. What is the thought process with that sixth pick? What are you thinking, Matt, that the Lions might be thinking right now?
I know they've made a lot of additions defensively so far in this free agency class, but I still think defense has to be the priority. They were atrocious for most of the year, dead last in total D. So I think they still look to that secondary. There are two really good corners in this draft, Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez. Both of those guys should be there still at six, the way things look right now, or at the very least, they'll have their shot at one of those guys. I could also see them going pass rusher. I know they went Hutchinson last year, but there are a couple of guys like Tyree Wilson, Lucas Van Ness, guys that could really bolster the other side of that defensive line opposite Aiden Hutchinson and create a nightmare tandem to have to block. And, you know, you got to win up front to win consistently in this league. And, you know, while the secondary had its issues, I think if you add a pass rusher of that caliber, it makes this defense really, really scary.
What if you had a three technique of that caliber, somebody named Jalen Carter? Would that fit in nicely with Detroit? Would they do it?
It's a good question. Yeah. It's, you know, every front office is going to approach him differently. But yeah, I mean, I think outside of Hutchinson, I think that front needs some serious upgrading, whether it's a defensive tackle or whether it's an edge player. So I wouldn't put it past them. I could also see them, you know, with that 18th pick, maybe even trading up a little to get Kalijah Kansi out of Pittsburgh,
because
he's a disruptive force. He's so quick, and I could see them making that type of a move as well. They need guys that are disruptors up front, and outside of Hutchinson, they really didn't have that last year.
Do you think that Dan Campbell or the organization as a whole, Brad Holmes, the GM, do you think that they project a winning season again this year? I'm just thinking about, like, with the short contract signings of a couple of veterans and Cam Sutton and CJ Gardner-Johnson, when you do these, like, short deals, and Graham Glasgow, actually I don't know what his deal was, it just sometimes it's like, okay, that's a team that's kind of in go-for-it mode. Are they in go-for-it mode yet, or is this still rebuilding?
I think so. When you look at this roster, there's a lot of talent there, especially right now on the offensive side of the ball. They've done a good job upgrading the defense a little bit. But, I mean, put the offensive line, those skill players, up against anybody in the league, and they match up pretty well. The biggest question, obviously, is still Jared Goff. He had a really nice season last year. I saw him make some big strides in his game. But there is always that fear. Is he going to regress? Can he do it again? Can he keep building on what he did last year? But if he's as good as he was last year or better, there's no reason why this team can't win the NFC North. And with the state of the NFC as a whole right now, maybe even do some damage in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Rodgers is leaving the division. It's relief for everybody. So you could kind of project and say that there are wins in the NFC North that there maybe weren't before. And we're talking to Matt Hamilton of FanDuel TV, former Lions scout. I'm Mark Grody. This is On the Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So you have the sixth pick there, and it sounds, you know, like they're thinking about defense, as you said, and rightfully so. That's the right move. What about when you get to the 18th pick in the draft for the Lions? Is that just straight up best player available, or do you think that there is a plan of attack and then just a load up on defense?
I think they're just going to load up on defense, honestly. I think, you know, we'll see what they do with the sixth pick. Obviously, I think that'll dictate kind of how they approach that 18th pick. You know, if they take a corner, they're not taking a corner again at 18. If they take an edge guy, they're not taking an edge guy, or a D-tackle, they're not taking a D-tackle there. But I think they take the best of those three positions that's left on the board at 18. Or, as I said, if there's a guy they really like, I can see them moving up a little bit. Because, as you said, I think they're going for it. And if there's a guy they think can really help them right away, I think they'll be aggressive and go get him.
With your scout's eye on, the Lions have right now a couple of pretty talented receivers, especially Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't think we've seen, I know we haven't seen the best of Jameson Williams yet, but when you look at those two guys, which guy you think is going to end up having a better career? Who's got the higher ceiling out of those two guys?
That's a great question, because Amon-Ra is so well-rounded. I think Jameson, as you said, we didn't even see him scratching the surface of what he's capable of last year. He was my favorite receiver in that draft last year. I think he's got the potential to be that bigger play guy, the game breaker. And that's what makes this offense so scary, is when you get him at full strength, that's as good a receiving tandem as I think we have right now. And I know I didn't fully answer your question. I'll say Jameson. I still think Jameson has the higher ceiling.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, he does seem – Jameson Williams is the more gifted out of the two, not to take anything away from Amon-Ra St. Brown, but there is that home run hitting ability that seems to exist with Williams. Not that it doesn't with St. Brown, but I think that we're probably on the same page. We came out here – I haven't even asked you about David Montgomery yet, but what did you think about that signing and the pairing up in the backfield for Detroit this year?
I love it for them. I mean, as Bears fans know, I mean, that soundbite was great. It just speaks to his mentality, but he's such a tough physical runner. And I think he pairs very well with DeAndre Swift, who, you know, is a little bit more explosive, more of a pass catcher out of the backfield. Hasn't really shown the ability to hold up consistently between the tackles. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. I know Montgomery's had his share as well, but I think when you put that pairing together, I think it's going to work really, really well in Detroit next year. And, you know, Jamal Williams, did a fantastic job last year in that role behind Swift, but I think Montgomery will pick up right where he left off, and I think he gives you a little bit more even than Williams does.
Matt, you were talking about Jared Goff a little bit earlier and his kind of up and down season, and still more to prove with the Lions. We're talking about wild cards as well. Is there any chance that the Lions surprise everybody and grab a quarterback in the early round, somebody to develop?
I don't see it as of right now. Again, I'd put it right now, I'd say like 85% no, that they wouldn't do it, because I think they do believe in Goff and what he showed last year. But there is that temptation, because as you saw with the Niners, when they got into a similar type of dilemma with Jimmy Garoppolo, do we pay a guy who's average, above average, top dollar? Do we go get a rookie who can probably give us the same production, and we pay him a fraction of the price, and we're able to keep the rest of our roster together and add other high-priced players at other positions? So, Detroit is getting themselves into that stage right now, where I think it's something you have to consider. If I'm them, I probably play out this year and see how things go, and then revisit that potential strategy next year. But it's always on the table, and it's always tempting when you can get a guy in a rookie deal.
All right, let's play rank the quarterbacks in the division here, because it's gonna be interesting.
Boy.
If we are to assume, let's just do this, and I'll play along too, because I don't think I've done a rank the quarterback segment yet in this division. Let's assume that Aaron Rodgers is not there and Jordan Love is the starting quarterback for the Packers. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, Justin Fields in Chicago, and then Jared Goff with Detroit right now. Who's the top guy? Who's the top guy next year? It's difficult, isn't it?
It is really hard. I think, again, if we're projecting into next year, I think I have to go with Justin Fields. I thought we saw him improve leaps and bounds this past season. We know the talent level, the athleticism is through the roof. I think we're going to see him take another step forward and take that spot, because, Kirk Cousins, again, the Vikings had a heck of a season, had a great record. A lot of the underlying numbers show that there's a little bit smoke and mirrors. If you watch them a lot, you saw it. They won some inexplicable games at points. I don't think they were quite as good as their record was last year, and I thought Cousins struggled at points. So I think I would go Fields. I think I would have to give it to Cousins, still second based on the overall body of work. I would go Goff 3, but I think it's a narrow gap between Goff and Cousins right now. And then I think I have to go Jordan Love 4. Just haven't seen enough. The spurts that we have seen from him, haven't been overly convincing, but the skill set is there. As he develops, I think he can turn into a good quarterback, but I think he was just raw coming out, and we haven't gotten enough of a look at him yet for me to put him anywhere else.
Matt Hamilton, former scout for the Lions and FanDuel TV. When you were looking at him, though, remind people of Jordan Love and you mentioned his skill set. Well, what is the Jordan Love skill set? Because you're right, in the times that we've seen him, not good. But if he gets extended time out there, we might see this skill set. What is it?
Yeah, and the one flash we got of him last year in that Eagles game was tantalizing, because that was the first time you really saw it look like it was starting to come together. And it was such a small sample size, you can't, overestimate what he showed. But you saw the accuracy, you saw some zip on his passes. He was getting the ball out on time. He looked decisive. I think that was the biggest thing watching him these first couple of years, even just watching him in preseason, was he just didn't seem sure of himself out there. And, you know, if you're a quarterback and you're not 100% confident in what you're doing, you're screwed. So to see him really seem to settle in and feel, and it looks like he was grasping that offense and feeling confident. He's also an athletic guy. I think he has all the tools in his skill set that you look for. The one question I had was kind of that mental makeup, the composure, that stuff. And again, it's too small of a sample size to say for sure, but you saw the makings of that in that Eagles Sunday night game that he had to come in.
It makes sense. And that last thing I have for you here, Matt, is Brad Holmes, the GM for the Detroit Lions. What's his style? What's he all about? And is it possible? I'm sure he's probably not ruled out movement, but is it possible that they wheel and deal the two first round picks, one or the other, or both?
I could see it. As I said, I think, you know, they're going to be aggressive. So whatever that entails. I mean, we saw it last year in the draft. They were willing to move around. I mean, they made interdivision trades. They made the one to get Jameson Williams, and they made another one during the season with Hockenson sending him to the Vikings. So I think that told us a little bit about Brad Holmes, that he doesn't care who he's trading with. He doesn't care what the potential implications are down the road. If he thinks he's making the best deal for his team, he's going to pull the trigger.
Pretty amazing to think about. And then the Detroit Lions, their arrow is pointing up, whether you want it or not. Matt Hamilton, great information. I appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll be bugging you down the line, man. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me. Would love to be back sometime.
Awesome. You will be. Matt, thank you so much. Matt Hamilton from FanDuel TV talking about the Detroit Lions. I hate being in this situation. It's been sport for me the last decade or so to be able to look at the division and say, Lions suck. They'll screw it up. No matter what they got, no matter which receiver they were drafting and whatever Matt Millen year it was or whomever. I mean, you could depend on an offer like a Rod Marinelli offer. Rod Marinelli does seem like a great guy. But have you ever seen anybody get a bigger pass for going 0-16? Dude went 0-16, and he is well-revered as a defensive coach. But nobody ever talks about that dirty little secret about the affable Rod Marinelli. It's like, you're pretty good at defense, but why couldn't you win one game? I mean, really?
That team was, like, infamous for all the wrong reasons. Like, my girlfriend doesn't follow football, but anytime the Lions play the Bears, she's like, isn't this the team that, like, didn't win a game one season? It's like, yes, it is.
Win one game in the NFL. That's just horrible. And it's about time somebody gets on this mic and says that about Rod Marinelli. He didn't win a game!
I'm glad it's you, Mark.
Zero! And everybody just kind of put their arms around him and carried him off and sang to him and fed him and said, you're going to be okay. It's all right. We're just going to get you back to your job. Your job is defense. Your job is not being a head coach. You're going to be fine because you're Rod Marinelli and those are your hitmen right there. Yeah. So the larger point being that sport is over for me now. I cannot look at the NFC North now and say Detroit's out. I did it last year too, and I felt pretty good about it when the Lions were 1-6, but when they finished 9-8 and were a real threat to make the playoffs at the end of last year, and all of a sudden Dan Campbell starts looking smart, I'm like, the whole system is coming undone for me. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could hope that Jared Goff regresses, which is definitely possible, but they got scary players on their team, man. You mentioned Aiden Hutchinson, and if they are going to pack up on defense, whoever they add to him in the first round is going to be a killer combination. I don't care who you put up there. That dude is for real, and we saw it up close against the Bears. And it's the Graham Glasgow I mentioned, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Cam Sutton. They're making, like, real additions to win games. These are not filler players they're adding, and the Lions are certainly a threat in this draft coming up. 312, we got a little segment left here. If you want to sneak in a call, 312-644-6767. I also have some audio for you from the Ohio State Pro Day. We'll get to hear what some of these players and coaches sound like talking about these players. It's On the Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock featuring Mark Grody right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Presented by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, the exclusive partner of the Chicago Bears. Take it away, Mark Grody.
We're going to hear from Paris Johnson Jr., the big left tackle, right tackle, guard of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll hear from him momentarily. Texter first from the 224. This is relation to me going off on Rod Marinelli. Wani, this texter says, was 4-12 twice, and you embrace him. Hey, Wani got crushed when he was here. He did. He got beaten up badly. And you are correct about that. Like, the golden season for Wani, where he redeems himself with me, is, and I've said this over and over and over, just one of my favorite Bears surprise seasons. It was 1994, and that was Wani. Wani got the Bears into the playoffs. They were the underdog in the wild card game at Minnesota. And I'll be damned if the Bears didn't win that game. It was one of my favorite Bears wins of all time. And of course, that's, I guess you take away the stuff in the 80s, because I was very present for what was going on with 80s Bears, for sure. All right, let's hear from Paris Johnson Jr., who played with Justin Fields. So he has a relationship with the Bears starting quarterback. And let's hear what that's all about from Paris Johnson.
I know, you know, people have wondered about, you know, the Bears trading down. Could that be a spot for you? Justin, is that something you've thought about at all, that chance of potentially reuniting?
I just had a great talk with the Bears offensive line coach. I mean, amazing guy. I talked with Justin about 4 days ago. So I think be able to keep up with him. And to me, he's like a big bro to me. You know, when I came in as a recruit, he used to look after me, you know. So my mom was really tight with his mom. So whenever I came up there, you know, I know it's going to be with him. So going to be able to play him my freshman year and stuff like that. And I think being able to play with him again and be able to protect him, I think that'd be full circle. He came in when I was still learning. Now I'm here. I'm ready to go and now take care. I think it'd be really super cool, you know?
God, the Drake sounds great in the background there, doesn't it? Just sounds perfect. Paris Johnson Jr. Obviously knows Justin Fields, saying all the right things. Would he still be there at 9? Doubtful, but not completely out of the realm of possibility. Skoronski. I don't know, out of those two guys, Paris Johnson Jr. and Peter Skoronski, I feel a little more comfortable with Paris Johnson Jr. just because it sounds like he's more legit. Like, he's left tackle, right? I mean, just the way Garrick Hodge was talking, a little bit nervous about the lack of time playing tackle because of playing guard, because they had their two tackles, including DeJuan Jones, at Ohio State. But I just like the Skoronski thing. Like, maybe all those guys are right that are saying that he can't play the position. And if they are right, or if the possibility exists, it just seems like a really tough risk to take, because I think Skoronski, yeah, like at 9 to play tackle, absolutely. To be in the interior where you're stacking up pretty nicely right now, I don't know. Like, I just don't want to have doubts about the guy that I pick at number 9 overall. What else we got? We got Jackson Smith and Jigba as well. Is that correct here, Sean, or did I mess it up?
I've got Ryan Day.
We got Ryan Day. Ryan Day, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And who is he talking about?
He's talking about our guy, Jackson Smith Njigba.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. Here is Ryan Day.
Well, I think it was great for everybody to see Jackson back out there. You can see his quickness. You can see his ball skills, speed. He ran good today. I think it was 4.48. It's just great to see him back on the field. And I think, you know, I heard a bunch of great feedback from the coaches and some of the personnel as they were watching.
Seems like every draft cycle, you guys have a guy who everybody kind of questions. Justin a couple years ago, this year it's Jackson. Do you ever sit back and what are these people talking about for Jackson?
I think it's a cycle, and we talk to the guys a lot that there's a certain time of the year where they're going to try to, question everything, and they're going to really try to figure out, as many things as they can. It's kind of like they try to figure out what are the weaknesses, and that's all part of the cycle of this process, I feel like. And And then just being transparent and just being the way that our guys are. And it'll be the same thing with Jackson. He's doing an unbelievable job. You can see, you know, how good he looked today and certainly going back on this production. I still say it all the time. There's not very many guys I've ever seen cover him. So he's going to have an unbelievable career in there.
DeJuan Jones is the guy Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, was discussing. And, yeah, he's the big guy. He's the big guy. They're all big guys, but he's a big, big guy. 6'8", 374, 7'5", wingspan. We had our guy on a little bit earlier, Garrick Hodge. He thinks he's possible way late first round. I'm going to project him as more of a second round guy because there is some stuff about, I mean, the size is great, but the false start stuff, that does scare me. That is the last thing that you need on your offensive line this year. You're just trying to get better on the offensive line, not add false starts to the team. So that would be, it'll be interesting to see where he goes, but I'm not sure that I like seeing that on the Chicago Bears. That is all the time we have for On the Clock today. I'll be back next week from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock for On the Clock. And then who knows when you know what, as a matter of fact, you will hear me tomorrow night. Gabe Ramirez and I will be doing a show together. Gabe Ramirez, I've seen his smiling face dashing about the hallway. He is coming in next. Gabe will entertain you from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. My thank yous to Garrick Hodge for coming on. Covers Ohio State for 11 Warrior. Matt Hamilton from FanDuel TV talking about the Detroit Lions as well. My guy, Sean Sears, the executive producer for the show. And Gabe Ramirez coming up next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears.
Meow.
Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock featuring Mark Grody right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Presented by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, the exclusive partner of the Chicago Bears.
Take it away, Mark Grody.
We're going to hear from Paris Johnson Jr., the big left tackle, right tackle, guard of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll hear from him momentarily. Texter first from the 224. This is relation to me going off on Rod Marinelli. Wani, this texter says, was 4-12 twice, and you embrace him. Hey, Wani got crushed when he was here. He did. He got beaten up badly. And you are correct about that. Like the golden season for Wani, where he redeems himself with me, is, and I've said this over and over and over, just one of my favorite Bears surprise seasons. It was 1994, and that was Wani. Wani got the Bears into the playoffs. They were the underdog in the wild card game at Minnesota, and I'll be damned if the Bears didn't win that game. It was one of my favorite Bears wins of all time. And of course, that's, I guess you take away the stuff in the 80s, because I was very present for what was going on with 80s Bears, for sure. All right, let's hear from Paris Johnson Jr., who played with Justin Fields, so he has a relationship with the Bears starting quarterback, and let's hear what that's all about from Paris Johnson.
I know, you know, people have wondered about, you know, the Bears trading down. Could that be a spot for you? Justin, is that something you've thought about at all, that chance of potentially reuniting?
I just had a great talk with the Bears offensive line coach. Amazing guy. I talked with Justin about 4 days ago, so I think be able to keep up with him. And to me, he's like a big bro to me. You know, when I came in as a recruit, he used to look after me, you know. So my mom was really tight with his mom. So whenever I came up there, you know, I know it's going to be with him. So I'm going to be able to play him my freshman year and stuff like that. And I think being able to play with him again and be able to protect him, I think that'd be full circle. He came in when I was still learning. Now I'm here. I'm ready to go. And now to take care. I think it'd be really super cool, you know?
God, the Drake sounds great in the background there, doesn't it? Just sounds perfect. Paris Johnson Jr. Obviously knows Justin Fields, saying all the right things. Would he still be there at 9? Doubtful, but not completely out of the realm of possibility. Skoronski. I don't know, out of those two guys, Paris Johnson Jr. and Peter Skoronski. I feel a little more comfortable with Paris Johnson Jr. just because it sounds like the he's more legit. Like he's left tackle, right? I mean, just the way Garrick Hodge was talking, a little bit nervous about the lack of time playing tackle because of playing guard, because they had their two tackles, including DeJuan Jones, at Ohio State. But I just like the Skoronski thing. Like, maybe all those guys are right that are saying that he can't play the position. And if they are right, or if the possibility exists, it just seems like a really tough risk to take. Because I think Skoronski, yeah, like at nine, to play tackle, absolutely. To be in the interior where you're stacking up pretty nicely right now, I don't know. Like, I just don't want to have doubts about the guy that I pick at number nine overall. What else we got? We got Jaxon Smith-Njigba as well. Is that correct here, Sean, or did I mess
it up? I've got Ryan Day.
We got Ryan Day. Ryan Day, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And who is he talking about?
He's talking about our guy, Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense. Here is Ryan Day.
Well, I think it was great for everybody to see Jaxon back out there. You can see his quickness. You can see his ball skills, speed. He ran good today. I think it was 4.48. It's just great to see him back on the field. And I think, I heard a bunch of great feedback from the coaches and some of the personnel as they were watching.
Seems like every draft cycle, you guys have a guy who everybody kind of questions. Justin a couple years ago, this year it's Jaxon. Do you ever sit back and what are these people talking about for Jaxon?
I think it's a cycle, and we talk to the guys a lot that there's a certain time of the year where they're going to try to, question everything, and they're going to really try to figure out, as many things as they can. It's kind of like they try to figure out what are the weaknesses, and that's all part of the cycle of this process, I feel like, and then just being transparent and just being the way that our guys are. And it'll be the same thing with Jaxon. He's doing an unbelievable job. You can see how good he looked today, and certainly going back on this production. I still say it all the time. There's not very many guys I've ever seen cover him. So he's going to have an unbelievable career in there.
DeJuan Jones is the guy Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, was discussing. And, he's the big guy. He's the big guy. They're all big guys, but he's a big, big guy. 6'8", 374, 7'5", wingspan. We had our guy on a little bit earlier, Garrick Hodge. He thinks he's possible way late first round. I'm going to project him as more of a second round guy because there is some stuff about, the size is great, but the false start stuff, that does scare me. That is the last thing that you need on your offensive line this year. You're just trying to get better on the offensive line, not add false starts to the team. So that would be, it'll be interesting to see where he goes, but I'm not sure that I like seeing that on the Chicago Bears. That is all the time we have for On the Clock today. I'll be back next week from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock for On the Clock. And then who knows? As a matter of fact, you will hear me tomorrow night. Gabe Ramirez and I will be doing a show together. Gabe Ramirez, I've seen his smiling face dashing about the hallway. He is coming in next. Gabe will entertain you from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. My thank yous to Garrick Hodge for coming on. Covers Ohio State for 11 Warrior. Matt Hamilton from FanDuel TV talking about the Detroit Lions as well. My guy, Sean Sears, the executive producer for the show. And Gabe Ramirez coming up next. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears.